Call to order the House Committee on Human Services on April 27, 2009. I will open up a work session on House Bill 3450.
House Bill 3450 prohibits title transfer of a single-family dwelling or multifamily housing containing a carbon monoxide source unless there are properly functioning carbon monoxide detectors at locations that provide carbon monoxide detection for all sleeping areas. As everyone knows, we had a work group on this, and we're working on amendments, but those are not ready yet.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3450 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 3450 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Any discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just want to let you know my son came down to the coast to put one of those in his home that he's renting out.
That's great. I've got one of my...
You got yours in? Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Any further discussion? All right. So the let's see. So that's all. We don't need to take a vote, right? And any
objection?
See none. The motion passes. The measure is sent to the Committee on Rules. Close the work session on House Bill 3450. Open up the work session on House Bill 2600.
This bill requires that providers of transient lodging ensure the availability of a lift system to allow persons with disabilities to access the bed, toilet, and shower or bathtub. And again, there's been a work group and some work on amendments, but those are not completed yet.
Right. So, colleagues, this bill is not ready to move, so we're going to be moving it to the Committee on Rules. Representative Boone?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2600 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 2600 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Any discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I was going to share a little bit, if it's okay,
sure,
of the work that we did. This is my folder. So we have done, Representative Van Orman and I have done quite a bit of work on this already, and I was very much looking forward to continuing to work to solve this problem. As you know, it did not come up as my issue. I didn't bring it forward. But after spending quite a bit of time on it, it's sort of become something that I'd like to be a part of, including some comments that came up about a lot of the returning soldiers needing these type of facilities. So for that reason, I'm going to choose to hopefully keep it within this committee, go to an interim work group, and solve these problems in a way that will work for everybody.
Thank you, and I really appreciate the work that both of you, Suzanne Van Orman, as well as Representative Freeman, working on this bill. But the sponsor of this bill has asked that it be moved to rules, which he chairs. So that's, and I would hope that if it doesn't pass this session, that you would be still a part of that subcommittee to work on it.
I see such a great opportunity to make this the right thing.
Absolutely.
With just a little bit more time.
Right. Thank you so much, Representative. Any further discussion? Any objection to sending this to rules?
I object to sending it to rules.
Okay, so I think we have to take a roll call.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
No.
Representative Huffman.
No.
Representative Freeman.
No.
Representative Dimbro.
Aye.
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
No.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Clemente.
Aye. Having received the required majority, the motion passes, and this the 2600 will be sent to the Committee on Rules, and I will close the work session on House Bill 2600. And which first?
Start at the top and go down,
okay.
I guess.
We'll open up the work session on House Bill 2207.
House Bill 2207 changes the name of the Criminal History Registry to the Central Background Registry. The recommended -6 amendment permits Metropolitan Service District to enter into a relationship with the Child Care Division for the purpose of requiring district employees to be enrolled in the Criminal History Registry and provides for the full recovery of the cost of participation in the agreement by Child Care Division from the Metropolitan Service area. I picked up the fiscal statement just a few minutes before the meeting began, and that is a minimal expenditure impact.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 2207 dated April 2nd, 2009.
Representative Olson moves to adopt the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 2207 dated April 2nd, 2009. Any discussion? Any objections? Not, the amendments are adopted.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2207 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 2207 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? All right. Zach, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Dimmel.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Allen.
Aye.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair
Tomei. Aye. Having received the required majority, House Bill 2207 will go to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Someone like to volunteer to take this to the floor?
I'll take it.
Oh, great. Representative Olson, thank you so much. All right. So, Representative Kotek, are you ready for your bill, or would you rather wait?
Probably not.
Are you waiting for anything? Yes.
What are we doing to the floor?
Stand at ease for a minute, please.
She said that she was supposed to...
And we're opening up a work session on House Bill 2726.
House Bill 2726 is the nutrition labeling, menu labeling bill. The Dash 14 amendment modifies the definition of a chain restaurant.
Well, we have a Dash 15.
Right, and I haven't actually seen that. I can tell you what the Dash 14 says, okay. And then okay. Adjust for what my understanding of the Dash 15 is.
Okay.
Unless we can just give it to Representative Kotek if you want.
Let's just give it to Representative Kotek.
Okay.
Have the 15s been?
I think they were distributed. I just...
Yeah, we have them.
Morning, everyone. For the record, Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44, North and Northeast Portland. Good morning. We're back before you today to talk about House Bill 2726, our menu labeling bill. So before you have the Dash 15s, and I would like to walk you through those. They are substantially the same as the Dash 14s that you received prior to the weekend that we wanted to get to you. We recognized a technical error in the 14s that we wanted to fix. And let me just point those out real quick because I think many of you have reviewed the Dash 14s. So on the Dash 15s, page 7, line 30, very bottom of the page, the error in the Dash 14 included Section 6 for, it excluded Section 6 from the preemption or from the implementation date. We didn't want that to happen. What we wanted to have is what's in Dash 15. So it shows when the different sections become operative on January 2011. Section 6 should not have been included in the Dash 14. So that is the difference between the 14s and the 15s. Sorry, I'm not quite awake. Was that totally clear?
Madam Chair.
Representative Cowan.
So, in other words, the preemption on local government enacting any different ordinance is effective immediately upon passage.
That is correct, Representative. Thank you for the clarification. So the Dash 15s, as you recall, you kindly passed the Dash 6 amendments a couple weeks back with some changes and some consensus language, some changes to modify Multnomah County's policy. What you have in the Dash 15 is a further modification of Multnomah County's policy as kind of the starting baseline for this discussion for us. And so the three things that the Dash 15s do is we heard strongly from the industry that there were three technical items in the Multnomah County's policy that caused some concern because of their lack of consistency with what was going on in California. So what you see in the Dash 15s on page 3, line 18 is the section that was in the original bill that talks about how typical values are determined for posting the calorie content on the menu boards. There was a line there in the original bill that talked about a 20% variance on the values. We have just eliminated that line. So the section Dash 15s has just the one sentence and takes out the second sentence that was on the original bill about the 20% variance. This is in alignment with what California is doing to say that essentially postings of calories have to be substantially accurate. They have to be, typical values determined under the section that are substantially inaccurate or that the restaurant knows or should know to be false or misleading. Essentially, we're just saying if the restaurants are acting in good faith to put the calories up there, we're not going to set up some other quantifiable standard, which was the 20% variance, because we're going to trust the restaurants that they're putting up the number that they think is substantially accurate, and that's the goal there. The other two technical changes are right follow that section, section 2A. In the original bill, we had set aside for rulemaking how you would determine calorie contents for combo meals and per serving. What you have in the Dash 15s is the language from the California legislation that clarifies how those two items are going to be handled. So all three of these things are different from what Multnomah County had started. So three technical changes to better align with California. That's the first change in 15s. Secondly, as Representative Cowan points out, we, with the Dash 15s, would completely preempt counties from starting new policies, that the statewide statute that would be passed with this bill would be what they would have to follow. And so this says that when this bill is initiated, when this law goes into effect, no counties can have their own set of local ordinances that deal with calorie posting in chain restaurants, including Multnomah County. The final option here, the final change in the Dash 15 is around timeline for implementation. Again, we heard from the industry that putting things off, also delaying full implementation of Multnomah County was really helpful. And so what you have is a two-staged implementation. By January of 2010, chain restaurants, as defined in the bill, would have to make available written material of the nutritional content of their food items in a brochure, easily accessible format. By January of 2011, all the calories would be posted on menus, menu boards, food tags, drive-thrus, the whole works. And that's the two-stage implementation. Incidentally, just to remind folks, that January 2011 is when California would also go into effect. This staging of nutrition information first, then calorie posting on menu boards is consistent with what California is doing. So those are the changes that are proposed in the Dash 15s. Colleagues, there are still some technical items to be worked out. Ongoing negotiations with the industry representatives about those, and I've given them my full commitment that we will attempt to address some of those on the Senate side. But because of the timing in terms of what we felt were very minor details at this point, and that the bulk, the framework of the bill, the most important aspects of the bill around implementation timeline, about preemption, about some of the very specific technical details are addressed in the Dash 15s, and we will be moving forward. One of the other issues that we had talked about with the industry was some concern about local sign ordinances in some communities maybe would prohibit chain restaurants with drive-through boards if they had a local ordinance that said you couldn't make your sign that restricted the size of the menu or the drive-through board, that they would have trouble meeting this. We checked with legislative counsel. If the restaurant were unable to adjust the design to meet the size that is permitted in their community, essentially the state statute contained in here on menu labeling would supersede and allow them to move forward in making some adjustments on their sign. And that's what legislative counsel has directed us. So while I understand it might be a concern in some communities, our understanding from legislative counsel is that the restaurant would have to be allowed to adjust the size of their drive-through sign if they were not able to meet the local sign ordinances, the local ordinance about size of their drive-through board, if that made sense. trying to think if there's anything else. There is an issue that I want to also state on the record in Section 6, which is the preemption, Section 6 on page 7. We've been going back and forth about how we have to word this, and it currently does not have a wording that talks about enforcement. It just talks about adoption. The intent of the language here is completely preempting counties from doing anything locally. We want the statewide policy to be what all counties follow. I understand that there's some concern from the industry that because the words are or enforce are not in this particular section, that somehow is a backdoor grandfathering of Multnomah County. That is not the case. We are continuing to work with the Public Health Division about trying to figure out what the right language is. And so, again, a technical issue to work through on the Senate side. But I just want to be clear for the record, the goal is complete preemption. This is not an attempt to do anything different. It's just a technical issue around the wording we need to get fixed on the Senate side.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kotek, wouldn't Multnomah be automatically preempted if the state makes a policy?
Madam Chair and Representative Boone, they are because of the language in Section 6. Basically, the state is saying, we really appreciate what you were doing. You need to delay with what you're doing. And I fully expect some restaurants in Multnomah County to continue to do the preparation they've already prepared for. Other than the three technical changes, the end goal of what Multnomah County is doing, which is calories on the boards, is not changed by what we want to do here at the state level. It just delays when they're able to do it. But that's what Section 6 does. It says Multnomah County, put it on hold. You could voluntarily continue to have this happen in your community, but it would not be required until January of 2011.
Any further questions? Representative Olson.
Thank you. Representative Kotek, thanks for the dash 15 time. You mentioned the enforcement piece to that. So Lane County is about ready, my understanding, to implement a policy next week, I think, from what I've heard. Where are they going to be at for that piece for the enforcement?
Madam Chair, Representative Olson, not to disparage my friends in Lane County, I think that's not quite true.
Okay.
There is a potential that they could pass something locally before this goes into full effect. But what this would do is say, you have to wait. The state law takes precedent. And again, the intention is adopting or enforcing, but we need to clarify. It was the addition of or enforce in that section that was going to have a problem with the fiscal because we didn't have additional language. We intend to clarify that on the Senate side.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Dembrough.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Following up on Representative Olson's question, so the Multnomah County ordinance is in effect now, but it's not being enforced vigorously or yeah. If at all.
At all.
As you envision this bill, were it to become statute, would it become enforceable immediately in January 2011, or would there still be a kind of lag period?
Madam Chair and Representative Dembrough, the enforcement of requiring the calories on the boards would not go into effect for January 2011 for all 36 counties.
Right. And then it would be enforced, you know, at that
point. That is correct.
Yes. Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Kotek, for addressing some of these issues. One of them on the implementation time is actually something I had talked to somebody about. So I like the ideas. In several of your statements, you talked about how you and the industry got together to kind of work on this. And my question may be more of the chair than you. Are we going to be able to hear from the industry to see if they like the 15s? There's 8 pages of amendments, and I'm guessing we're going to be asked to vote on it today. I was just kind of curious.
I think I'm going to leave that up to Representative Kotek if you think that would be appropriate. This is just invited testimony. So
Representative Freeman or Madam Chair and Representative Freeman, I think that would be fine. What I'm saying is I'm very well aware that there are technical issues,
right,
that because of the timeline we haven't been able to address, but if they wanted to discuss this on the record and I'd have an opportunity to respond, I think that would be appropriate.
I think we'll have
and real quick,
very quickly because we've got a lot to do this morning.
Is there fiscal on this? I haven't.
We heard from DHS that there was not a fiscal on the 14s, And the 15th just changed the date, so there, I'm sure there will be no fiscal. So we got
that statement. I'm sorry. I'm trying to learn all this. I may have it here, but I don't know if I got it.
They came in over the weekend. It's, I think I have, I know I have a copy.
And I checked with Mrs. Kennedy about.
Yes, it's minimal expenditure impact.
And she said since we already have the 14, it would be okay. Thank you. Okay, any further questions of Representative Kotek? Okay, Mary Lou, do you have anything quick?
No, I was just here in case there was a technical issue.
Bill, you want to come up?
Just here.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Dash 15s?
For the record, Bill Perry at the Oregon Restaurant Association, Chair Tomei and the members of the committee. First, I do want to thank Representative Kotek for the sections on the value meals and the combo meals and everything else. And she did a good job of addressing our specific two kind of concerns we have left. And that is, when you look at King County implementation of menu boards or drive-thrus, it does have a section in there that says they can apply to the departments for a variance if codes seem to be an issue. Mm-hmm. So it gives a little more flexibility, but they have to work through the department. And just the concern about the way the preemption is addressed says cannot adopt an ordinance. And so it's our concern when you take the words enforcement out mm-hmm. that anything adopted before the law comes into effect would stay in and enforceable. That's the concern we have. And obviously we probably have dueling lawyers on this thing like most issues, but those are the two, I guess, fundamental concerns that we had. Representative Kotek did bring them up.
Thank you. And I think since it's on the record that that's what the intent of the bill is, it seems to me it would be pretty clear that that's what we're intending to do regarding the enforcement and the date.
Chair Tomei, I understand that, but as it relates to this building, as you guys know, in negotiations, asking another chamber to change something is not always met with a great response. So I would prefer to get the issues fixed here, but I know there's timelines and everything else because I think the Senate's always going to do what the Senate wants to do. And so and the House is going to do what the House wants to do. So that's my concern.
Thank you. Thank you for coming today. Any quick questions of this witness? You stay there, Bill. There might be a question. Oh. Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Any quick questions of Representative Kotek before we let her go? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, colleagues. I really appreciate it.
Madam Chair, I move to we reconsider the vote by which the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 2726, dated 3rd of April 2009, were adopted.
Representative Boone moves to reconsider the vote by which the committee adopted the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 2726, dated April 3rd, 2009. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, the motion carries. The measure is once again before the committee in its original form.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 15 amendments to House Bill 2726, dated for 27th of April 2009.
Representative Boone moves to adopt the Dash 15 amendments to House Bill 2726, dated for 2709. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none? Yes.
Once again, I'm going to be the objector because I haven't had a chance to read 8 pages of amendments.
Okay. All right. Then, Zach, would you call the rules or roll, please?
Representative Van Orn.
Aye.
Representative Mallon.
No.
Representative Huffman.
Nope.
Representative Freeman.
No.
Representative Bivino.
Aye.
Representative Callen.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
No.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye. Because we don't have this one. Or revenue.
Did you call me? Yes. Yeah. Okay, having received the required majority.
You're
not. Thank you. Can I say yes? having received the required majority, the amendment Dash 15 is adopted. All right, Representative Boone.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2726 without the fiscal or revenue impact statement being available for review.
Representative Boone moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 26 with, 2726 without the fiscal or revenue impact statement being available for review. This motion is undebatable. Those of the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2726 without the fiscal revenue impact statement being available for review will say aye or no. And Zach, would you call the roll again, please?
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Dimbra.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
No.
Representative Huffman.
No.
Representative Mallon.
No.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye, reserving my right to change my mind.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
No.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Okay, now.
We have to have a two-thirds majority to suspend the rules, so your options at this point are to remove the Dash 15 amendments and take the Dash 14 amendments, which we do have the or one of the other multiple sets of amendments that we have, and vote on those because we have the impact statements and don't have to change our rules.
Actually, I meant to move the Dash 11.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I? If,
yes.
For the record, Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44. The Legislative Liaison for Public Health has been working with Legislative Fiscal this morning, and they have said that they would have the Dash 15s ready by the end of your committee.
Okay.
Because there is no difference. If that would be preferable, we just didn't want to hold you up, but if that is preferable...
Katie King, the DHS government relations person. Just to clarify, LFO said that they would try to have the amendments done by the end of the hearing.
Okay. So I think what I would like to do is wait until the end of the hearing to see if we have that. And if not, then we'll pass the Dash 14s. We can do that. Right? And
Madam Chair, you can. That's substantially different from the 15s, however. And I would, I think waiting makes sense. I would ask my colleagues to reconsider. The fiscal element, removal of the Section 6, does not affect the fiscal. And it provides what we are hearing from the industry. If you move the Dash 14s, they would not be in the spirit of what we've been trying to do, which is delay the implementation of this statewide till January of 2011 and do the preemption immediately. So I'm just letting you know that that is what we're trying to achieve. Does not have a fiscal impact. It's taking something out that should not have been in there.
We'll take a quick recess. the work session on House Bill 2726. Okay, we are going to recess the work session on House Bill 26 and wait to the fiscal, see if we can get it by the end of the meeting. And we are going to open up what's going to be easy to you guys. House Bill 3065. Oh, we don't have Keeley. What do we do with Keeley? No, that's okay. She'll be here. Okay, I'll read these. Thank you, Representative Kotek. So we're going to wait for the fiscal.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Uh-huh.
Thank you,
Paul. You bet. So if you remember, House Bill 3065 would allow DHS to combine the benefit to OSIP, Oregon Supplemental Income Plan, to combine the benefit with other aid in order to provide more meaningful assistance. Remember, this is the bill that would not require the department to send out small checks. It would provide other benefits.
The $1.17 or something?
Yeah, the $1.17. Yes. And we do have a fiscal analysis, which you should have gotten earlier. And has no revenue impact. So,
Madam Chair, this has parentheses on it, as in savings.
As in savings, isn't that very wonderful? Exciting. I know, it is very exciting.
Get extra credit?
Yes.
Yeah.
A good bill should pass. Representative Olson, since you were one of the chief sponsors of this.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3065 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Olson moves that House Bill 3065 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative.
Thank you. I would just like to call the committee's attention to the fact that this is a bipartisan bill. Rep. Olson and I finally agree on something.
That's brutal.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just brutal.
That is brutal. All right.
Any chance I get.
Okay. Seeing none, any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Dibbrook.
Aye.
Representative Callan.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Clement.
Aye. The motion passes and the bill is sent to the committee. Oh, no.
It goes on Ways and Means because there has to be a way to deal with that savings.
Okay. All right. So there it goes. But
we'll be happy.
Yes, we'll be happy. So then it will go to the floor.
Okay. I know you've closed this, Madam Chair, but we've had the discussion. I really, you being on that Ways and Means subcommittee down there, I greatly appreciate being in that position. And I'm hoping that we can kind of stay in like kind and with
absolutely
where, the disbursement of those dollars would be.
Absolutely. I've had a commitment from the co-chair and from the chair of Ways and Means. I mean, the chair of the sub. So then it doesn't have to come back to the floor, does it?
It will go to the floor after.
Okay. Representative Boone, would you like to carry this?
Yes, I'd be pleased to do it with Representative Olson.
Oh, okay.
Do it
that's
tag
good.
Team.
Terrific. Good. So,
write the script.
Close the work session on House Bill 3065.
We did receive the fiscal on 2134, if you'd like to go back to that.
Okay.
And I handed that out to everyone just moments ago.
Great.
2134.
So we will open up the work session on House Bill 2134.
This bill is related to lead-based paint licensing and enforcement, and the original bill removed licensing and enforcement authority from Construction Contractors Board and placed it with Department of Human Services. The recommended -4 amendments were extremely hard worked on by Gail Shibley and Scott Berry, some other members of the Construction Contractors Board. And those basically split responsibility and enforcement authority so that those individuals who were previously being regulated by the Contractors Board will not be relocated to a new enforcement agency, but does require that DHS set all of the requirements for licensing programs. And I believe Representative Olson wanted...
Ms. Shibley, would you come up?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members. For the record, Gail Shibley, Administrator for the Office of Environmental Public Health and Public Health Division of Department of Human Services. Go ahead. So thank you very much, Chair and members. Ms. West mentioned the Dash 4 amendments, I think get us there. You may recall when last we visited, we were very close, but there were some T-crossing and I-dotting that we needed to fine-tooth comb through, and through an awful lot of work and support from the Construction Contractors Board and Legislative Council and DOJ and, excuse me, my staff. In others, I think we are there with the Dash 4s. There is no change, I think, in sections 1 through, well, it's actually on page 5 to section 7. I think nothing has changed from the earlier piece, but the section 7, 8, and 9... I think are just slightly, 7 through 12, which is the remainder of the bill. That's the CCB portion of the bill, and I'm certainly not going to be able to speak with any specificity or much accuracy about all the details thereof, but Craig Smith, the administrator for CCB, is here with me and has been a terrific partner in this. But I do want to just mention one thing that is in the DHS portion of the bill, and that is on the bill as introduced, which is on page 2, section 5, which provides for a civil penalty of not more than $5,000 for each violation. The monies for which would be used for lead-based paint prevention activities. Let's see if I can find that in the Dash 4s. Monies paid to the public health account under this section may be used only for the purposes of lead poisoning prevention, including consumer and industry outreach, public education, blood lead screening, and other activities. I know that there was a question about how did you come up with the number 5,000, that is the number that CCB has for its civil penalty authority. It was important that we have a consistent enforcement authority so that we wouldn't have two agencies out there enforcing with two different kinds of authority and leverage. So with that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to answer any other questions you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Shibley. You had a question, Representative
yep,
Olson?
That's it. That's Craig. The care of it.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's for Craig. And I was the one that brought up when I saw the $5,000. I thought, Craig, you greedy son of a gun. Anyway, no. But, Craig, how often do you have a $5,000 fine against a contractor, just out of curiosity? And I do appreciate your responsiveness on my question.
The Chair, Tomei, and Representative Huffman, Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board. Civil penalty authority was raised a few years ago for Contractors Board up to $5,000 for almost any offense. We do investigate about three dozen different types of violations. This, of course, would become one of those. The question was, how often do you do a $5,000 civil penalty? And it's very rare. Usually that's when we have a triple offender or a third-time offender. It doesn't happen much is the answer. I can't give you a specific number. I'd be happy to provide that information if you want it.
Madam Chair, follow-up. And I will say that in your, I don't know if it's a newsletter or a report that's monthly or quarterly, I receive it, and typically it's 1,000 and under that is the typical fine. Great. So I just wanted to get that on the record. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Representative Van Orme, do you have a quick question?
Yes, I do, please. Thank you. On the fiscal, it intimates the cost, and I presume this is new money. It's not existing money in the, within the agencies currently.
Madam Chair, Representative Van Orman, that is correct. That these this represents revenue that will be charged to training providers or to contractors or to renovators, I guess.
So essentially, follow-up. Essentially, you're funding this funding would be revenue producing, and it should not have an impact. Because the question I had was relative to, if you don't get this money, what do you do? But it sounds like you've figured out how to have the program pay for itself.
Madam Chair, Representative Orman, that's absolutely correct. We have the revenue through this authority, which is exactly how the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has designed the program nationally. And the issue is only do contractors and training providers and renovators pay their money to the federal government, or do they pay their money here in Oregon?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony today. Representative Olson.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -4 amendments to House Bill 2134, dated April 7th, 2009.
Representative Olson moves to adopt the -4 amendment to House Bill 2134, dated April 7th, 2009. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2134 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 2134 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will please call the roll.
Representative Callan.
Aye.
Representative Denver.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Mallon.
Aye.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having received the majority, this bill passes. 2134 passes as amended. Who would like to carry this?
Me.
Have you carried a bill recently?
Yeah, and I've got 4 or 5 in the next 5 or 6 days.
Oh, okay. Representative, yes. Okay, Representative Cowan. Thank you very much. She'll carry this bill. With that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 2134. Reopen the work session on 2726. Keeley.
We did receive both the fiscal and the revenue impact statements. There was no revenue impact and a minimal expenditure impact on the -15 amendments. And I have copies for those of you who would like to have a copy.
Thank you. Okay. So,
can I have one of those back?
Thank
you. Madam Chair,
Madam
Chair, I move to adopt the -15 amendments.
Representative, did you wish to say something?
Can I just add something, if I may? And I apologize, Madam Chair. Tina Kotek, for the record. There was something I forgot to mention in the review of the 15s that I thought was really important, and it there was a change from the -6 to the -15s that did not get added into your memo, and I think it's really important. I apologize for not pointing it out. In the -6s, we had added a section allowing the Attorney General to take a file civil suits against restaurants. We have taken that section out, and I want to reiterate that the goal of the bill is not to do a gotcha on the restaurant, so you have no per se negligent claims allowed, as well as we took out the section on the AG enforcement. I just wanted to make that clear. For some reason, it didn't get on our list. So thank you for the courtesy, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Boone.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -15 amendments to House Bill 2726, dated 27th of April 2009.
Representative Boone moves the Amendment 15 to House Bill 2726.
I thought we already adopted the -15s.
We actually did.
Okay. All right.
So we can
thank you,
so we can move to the. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2726 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 2726 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Freeman, go ahead.
If I make a couple comments. Thank you, Chair Comey. This has been a very interesting bill, and I'm excited about the idea of making people healthier. I'm not so excited about Oregon being one of the first states of just a few that are going to do it. It seemed like it would have been maybe more appropriate to see what some of the other states did and see if their obesity rates went down and if it really actually solved the obesity problem or helped to solve it. As a local option issue, I understand Multnomah County has set this as a priority, has the ability to fund it, and is doing a good job with it. I will tell you, not all counties have this as a top priority. I talked to lots of people down in our community, and nobody's even aware of the need for it or why they would want to do it. And specifically, our county, through their health department, is nervous about the cost of enforcement. Nobody really has addressed the cost of restaurants. I know we talked about it a little bit. Some numbers that I got from the testimonies that we're talking about affecting 2,200 restaurants. The lowest estimate we got was $1,000 per restaurant. That's $2.2 million. So when we start talking about doing the right thing or trying to help people and our fiscal says minimal to the government, understand there's a $2.2 million plus fiscal to the businesses that we're going to be affecting. And this will cost people hours or possibly their jobs. Most of the people that do government budgets understand that the large portion of your budget is personnel. It's the same thing in private business. So when you start cutting people's profit or the amount of money they make in business, they've got to cut down hours or, like I say, even jobs. So that's $2.2 million of lost payroll or taxable income. So we will lose money on our revenue side because people won't be making that money. The businesses won't get taxed out profit because they'll be able to write off the cost of redoing their signs and whatnot. And the other night, Thursday night, I sat through a Ways and Means hearing here in Salem, part of the road show, and I listened to many concerns about all kinds of different things. No one asked for more government regulation or to increase cost to businesses. However, some didn't want corporations to pay more taxes. That was pretty clear. But nobody asked to regulate them more. So my concern is it's just one more government regulation with more cost to business, and I'm not sure the outcome that we're hoping for will be created here. Thank you,
Representative. Any further quick comments? If not, I'd like to move to Representative Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank Representative Kotek for her perseverance and leadership on this issue. And I do want to say, as a resident of Multnomah County, I regret having to wait for the new system to be implemented, and I'm generally not a fan of preemptions, but I will say that the merits of having a program that can make such a difference on the obesity and other chronic illnesses of Oregonians around the state, I think outweighs that concern, and I think I'm very proud of this step that we're taking.
Thank you, Representative. Any other quick comments? Seeing none, Zach, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Mallon.
No.
Representative Huffman.
No.
Representative Freeman.
No.
Representative Dimbrough.
Aye.
Representative Callum.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
No.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Thomas.
Aye. Having received the required majority, House Bill 2726 has amended passes. And Representative, I assume you would be carrying this on the floor. Thank you.
Madam Chair, just give you notice that possible minority report off the dash 11 is in.
All right. Thank you, Representative Olson. Thank you. With that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 2726. That was a difficult burst. And we will move to, let's see, we did that one. Let's move to 3384. I will open up a work session on House Bill 3384.
The original bill removed the requirement that applicants for public assistance assigned to the state support payments accrued during periods assistance was not received and prohibited temporary assistance for needy families recipients who were enrolled in school as an allowable work activity from being disenrolled because the number of individuals receiving aid declined from the previous year. The Dash 1 amendments that the committee has already adopted deleted the removal of the requirement that the applicants for public assistance assigned to the state support payments and was simply the portion that related to the recipients of aid who were attending school.
Thank you very much. Representative Kotek, do you wish to speak on your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, Tina Kotek, State Representative. As you have noted, we have passed the dash ones, and again, this is just clarifying in statute what had been an intent of TANF redesign in 2007 and something that has been implemented by rule to clarify what happens to parents who are taking advantage of the Parents of Scholars option in the TANF program, and I urge your full support. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And we did pass the Dash 1 amendment, and this has no revenue impact. So, Representative Boone, are you ready to?
Madam Chair, I move.
Wait.
Do we have a fiscal?
Yeah, we have a fiscal.
Again, that came in over the weekend. I'm not sure, but it does say passage of this bill will have no fiscal impact to the Department of Human Services.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3384 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 3384 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
One moment, Madam Chair, please. I'm sorry. Can you add? You need to add to your motion the Speaker's office has approved the rescinding the subsequent referral to Ways and Means. If you would just add that we'd like to rescind the.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3384 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with the realization that the Speaker will rescind the subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 3384 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, acknowledging that the Speaker has rescinded the requirement that it go to Ways and Means. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, great. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Denbrough.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Miles.
Aye.
Representative Van Horn.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair DeMay.
Aye. Having received the required majority, House Bill 3384 passes. And Representative Van Orman, you want to carry that? Have you carried anything yet this morning?
Yeah, I think I have.
Madam
but
Chair,
I'll carry it.
I'd actually like
Great.
To carry this one.
All right.
All right.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Representative Denbrough.
No problem.
And I'll close the work session on House Bill 3384. Okay. So now we're going to see. So we'll open up the work session on House Bill 2990.
2990. House Bill 2990 established the Private Child Caring Agencies Fund and allowed the Department of Human Services to establish and collect fees for licensing private child care agencies. The recommended dash two, I think. Dash three, I'm
dash
sorry.
Three.
The dash three amendment simply establishes the Private Child Caring Agencies Fund for funds received under the child caring agencies portion of statute, not create a new fining ability.
Okay. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44. Thank you, colleagues, for continuing the conversation on House Bill 2990. As you recall, we had an interesting public hearing on this. We have before you the Dash 3s. What's being handed out is a hand in gross for that. Essentially, the Dash 3 amendments take out all of the language around setting up licensing fees, which was, I know, a concern for members of this committee. It would still remain, keep the section that would allow the department to levy fines on child caring agencies that we license and monitoring the state. Because currently, if there's a problem with an agency, the only ability the department has is to shut them down, withdraw their license completely. That can be very disruptive for communities as well as the children and families being served by these agencies. And the department, one of the things they would like to have is the ability to levy fines to put into an account that could be used for quality improvement and technical assistance. But as a as a better tool than a complete shutdown of an agency that's having issues. So that's what the Dash 3 does. We also had Dash 1s and Dash 2s drafted. I had very interesting dialogue with the stakeholders. Many of you have talked to agencies about their concern about their budgetary situations right now. Again, I still keep coming back to, in statute, we require the state to license these child caring agencies. We require oversight, but we have really, to some degree, tied the hands of the department in terms of their resources to be able to oversee them completely. So in listening to the stakeholders, I did have a Dash 1 amendment drafted that said that we would establish some licensing fees, but that if you were an agency doing business with the state of Oregon, that you would not have to pay the fee until the state had been reimbursing you at 85% of cost. So that's what I heard was the concern for the agencies, that they're working with the state, but they're being reimbursed at such a low amount that it's very difficult for them to operate at a reasonable level. So we did have those Dash 1s drafted, just so you know. There was a caveat from Legislative Council that said, and I believe we passed around his memo, saying, be careful here, because if you set up, treating one set of agencies different than another around this type of issue, you might have problems. But I want to just put those out there and say, we did discuss it, we drafted something, and if you like that idea, I would be happy to see the Dash 1s go forward. We also did a Dash 2, which would put off the entire bill until the beginning of the next biennium, again, recognizing the fact that to establish fees right now in some of these agencies, it might be challenging for their budgets. But again, I have to remind us all that budgetary issues aside, we do have an obligation here in the state that when there are issues that arise in these child caring agencies, 200-plus some of them across the state that we license and oversee, that we have to make sure we have the resources to respond. So I fully anticipate this would be an ongoing discussion in the interim, but I would hope that we could do the Dash 3s to at least say to the department, we recognize there's an issue. We think it would be preferable for you to levy fines before you shut someone down, because that is a better next step when there are some issues that arise, and that is what the Dash 3s would allow. So, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Chair. Is this, Representative Kotek, is this the bill where like two-thirds of the agencies we're talking about receive no state funds? Is that, I have my notes here.
Madam Chair, Representative Freeman, you are correct. About 230 agencies across the state are licensed, and a good number of those, more than two-thirds, have no relationship with the state whatsoever in terms of contracts.
Very good. Thank you.
Representative Boone?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I received an over-the-top objections to this bill as before it was amended. So I just want to make sure it's like this: this agency does not have the authority to right now to levy fines,
Donna?
Because in some areas of the agency, we've been working with them, and there are. Thank you, Donna.
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, I'm Donna Keddie, Manager of Residential Treatment and Licensing with Children, Adults, and Families. Chair Tomei, Representative Boone, we actually do have the statutory authority currently to levy fines. What we do not have is the ability to channel those funds into the Treasury or into the private child caring agency fund.
Follow up?
Where
do they go?
I think they go into the general Treasury.
So then this would change that, so it would go into a special fund. Is that true?
Right.
The Dash 3. Right.
And just all a final, thank you. And that all that this bill does then is takes these funds or fines that would be levied on violators and put it in a fund.
And Madam Chair, Representative Boone, that is what if we adopt the Dash 3s, that is what would happen, yes.
And final, a really final one. And all those people we heard from are in agreement with this now?
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, I have discussed the various amendments we had drafted. I don't believe they had the main group, the Oregon Alliance of Children's Programs. I'm not sure that they had an opportunity to take a formal position, and I don't know if they want to comment.
Thank you. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kotek, originally, wasn't this bill not so much for fines, but for charging fees to basically be in business? And there was a discussion about some states doing a per-bed fee of like $1,000 a year per bed for some of the residential. Isn't this that bill?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, it's the same bill, but the dash threes would take out any reference to establishing licensing fees.
And the dash three is what I have interest in moving today. Child care agencies, Janet, could you come up?
Madam Chair,
yes.
While she's coming up, this was the one that I asked. There was a panel of three people, and I said 5 years ago, and saying that they're not getting state money, Medicaid, a lot of these are getting Medicaid funds for the services they provide. And 5 years ago, they had the direct conduit. They were getting the Medicaid reimbursement directly. Over the last 5 years, that has changed where it comes through Department of Human Services. And then in my area, those are filtered through, and I get them confused sometimes, but I think Center for Living. So it goes through two channels where they take, I believe, 15% each. And some of my providers are getting 70% of what they were getting 5 years ago.
And this would not affect that, I think, this dash three amendment.
And Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, there are a host of issues around the agencies who receive support from the state to serve vulnerable children in their capacity as child caring agencies.
Yep.
But just to clarify, still, even if you take into account Medicaid reimbursements, two-thirds of the child caring agencies in this state that we license have no contractual relationship with the department. They operate, this is in some regards, unless they have other kind of oversight, this is the licensing from the state is their only official. It's the only official oversight that exists, and you're absolutely correct. The intent of the bill was to say we have child care agencies in the state that we have difficult time enforcing when abuse or other incidences happen. The department is struggling to oversee with two staff, 200 plus agencies across the state. This bill was to give additional tools. One of those was to look at licensing fees. One that is still in the bill, and if you keep the dash threes, was to say take those fines and put them somewhere and re-put them back into the system that could be, you know, added for technical assistance or quality improvement, which is what the dash threes would do. This doesn't solve the entire problem. It certainly doesn't get into all the issues about overlays and duplicative, you know, contracting issues. That is something I'm more than happy to look into during the interim. But, again, this is just about saying we understand you have an issue, department. Put that money back into your system and help improve the system in lieu of us giving you the ability to license and charge fees.
Janet?
Chair Tomei and committee members, Janet Ahrens, Executive Director for the Oregon Alliance of Children's Programs. Thank you for the opportunity to comment just a little bit further. We appreciate the committee's response to our concerns on this bill. We also appreciate everybody's agreement that the safety of these kids is important and that those of us who are professionals and trying to care for them need to be held accountable for their safety and their well-being. I did have an opportunity to speak with Representative Kotek briefly about the amendment concepts, and my suggestion on the fees was that they need to be, if you're going to levy fees, the oversight and the technical assistance and support needs to come to agencies much earlier than it's currently occurring in order for that to be effective as a deterrent. Often by the time agencies are contacted by the state, it's the issues and the concerns have gone on far too long, and levying a fine will not produce any additional safety for the children. At that point, you really are making a decision about whether or not it's safe for the children to continue, or you need to suspend licenses for a period of time. So we would look forward to the opportunity for those funds to be used much earlier in those circumstances for that technical assistance and support. And we're also a little bit concerned about trying to find a definition for when they would be levied, under what circumstances, what the timing looks like. So I think there's a little bit more to be done to work out those definitions. We also also spoke to Representative Kotek about the possibility of exempting those agencies that have contracts with the state of Oregon because they already have so much significant oversight occurring through those contracts that And since the focus is on the three-quarters of those licensed entities that have no relationship with the state and no other additional oversight, that perhaps that was worth a little additional conversation.
Janet, as I look at this, it seems like a very simple change to legislation that is already in effect. All it is doing is establishing the state treasury separate and distinct from the general fund, the private child caring agencies fund. So then whatever monies come in will be put in that fund. So it really has nothing to do with licensing as I read it, and maybe one of you could correct me if I'm wrong here. All it does is set up this fund so that it can go to help agencies be more effective in treating the children that they serve. Is that, am I missing something here? So this does not address all of the issues that we would like to address that maybe we will be looking at in the interim. All it does is set up a fund. So is, am I correct there? So that's, I would like to move the dash three amendments because I think it does that, and we will address the other issues as they as we're able to during the interim. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the department. The by creating this new fund and directing the dollars to go there, this direction, are you taking people then from another place within the agency to move to enforce this specifically, or are you going to need to add additional bodies?
Chair Tomei, Representative Olson, we have the two staff that we have, and I think that until funds could accumulate to supplement that, we would use the existing staff to try and address as many of the priority issues as we could. And, of course, any violation that correlated to the seriousness of warranting a penalty would get our attention as a priority.
Okay, follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
So how many FTE positions are you contemplating in the next, let's say, 2 years?
Chair Tomei, Representative Olson, I'm not sure that I can predict that because under this amendment it would be based on the ability to use revenue from fines and to predict what serious violations could occur is would be somewhat of a shot in the dark, I think. I can say that we, some of the most serious violations occur because of founded abuse. And in 2008, there were about 51 cases of founded abuse. As Janet pointed out, we'd like to get ahead of the abuse and provide technical assistance to ward off the need for fines.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Representative Huffman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm a little confused because I had understood the chair to say all we were doing, you could already charge fines, and so all we were doing was just putting those fines in a different account. Mm-hmm. But Representative Olson, Donna, was asking you about procedures, and I got out of you that there could be some procedural differences.
Chair Tomei, Representative Huffman, I think probably that's a really good question. I think the confusion is that although we've had the statutory authority to charge fines, we've never actually done it. We had a significant rule change, rewrite of our rules that went into effect last October. So the specific procedures for actually collecting or doing fines, we've never utilized it. So there is some procedural work to be done on that.
Colleagues, I'm ready to move the dash three amendments. If you are not, we can come back at 5:30 and deal with this further. So it's up to the committee. What would you like to do?
Thanks, Chair Tomei, and this will save you having to write me a note. The problem I have, and I discussed this with the other day, with fines going towards paying eventually wages for people that are writing the fines, I just have a little bit of a conflict in when we set up things that way, and a concern for people having to write a certain amount of fines to maintain the income for their wages, and not implying anybody would do anything wrong, but we're just setting up kind of a weird dynamic when we do that.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. I think I just want to clarify, from what the department is saying, they've had the ability to levy fines and penalties for clearly violations of things that are in statute. They're still setting up the process. They have not done it. I think the policy question is, and it sounds like the department wants to continue doing a process where instead of shutting folks down, levying penalties, the policy question is, do you want to set up a fund so when those penalties accrue, they stay in the department for quality improvement and technical assistance? There has not been a plan. There is no policy option package anywhere on the near horizon that would, you know, identify this source of funding with new staff. Would that happen sometime in the future? Possibly. But I think this is very much in sync with what we do in other systems of care in Department of Human Services. You had just looked at a bill to raise some fees on nursing homes to go into a database and technical assistance and quality improvement fund. It's very similar. It's saying if you want to levy penalties when there are problems, those dollars stay in the system. They might end up hiring staff. It could be someone who provides, you know, more educational materials to these agencies. It doesn't necessarily have to mean staff. So I think, again, the policy question with the dash threes is, when the department starts levying penalties, and they are planning to do that, it stays in a fund that feeds into improving the overall system down the line.
So as I understand it, the agency now can levy the funds. It just won't go into this one fund that we would like it to go into. It can go into the general fund. So it will not affect that at all. So if I could address that, Representative Freeman, they still have the ability, it will go into the general fund. This would direct it into a particular fund so we can help the agencies, as Ms. Arendt had asked, that we give them more technical assistance so that they're not having to shut down the child caring agencies. Mm-hmm. So I need feedback from the committee. If you want to proceed with this now, if you want to come back at 5:30.
Ready. Madam Chair, I'd like to proceed.
Okay. Any objections
to
proceeding? Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2990, dated 23rd of April, 2009.
Representative Boone moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2990, dated April 23rd, 2009. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. The Dash 3 amendments are accepted. Now, what do we need to suspend the rules for?
Because we don't have a fiscal statement.
Okay.
It will need to go to Ways and Means, Madam Chair.
And it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means regardless.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2990 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
Representative Boone moves that we suspend the rules so that we can vote on 2990. Is that correctly stated? Okay. Any objection? Seeing none, rules are suspended.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2990 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 2990 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm going to be voting no regarding this bill, but I do greatly appreciate the Dash 3 amendments, Representative Kotek, and my only reason I'm voting no right now is because I have had a number of folks through email write to me to be opposed to this, but the Dash 3s actually bring an entirely different light to the subject, and that's why I'm a no now, but I'm going to do some serious work and following up with that then for when it does come to the floor.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion? Representative.
And I agree with my colleague, Brett Olson. The same thing I heard from just about every agent or child care agency. And
that was about the original bill.
The original bill. Right. And so I intend to get back to them or maybe through the advocates and ask them further.
Right. Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Zach, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Mallett.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
No.
Representative Freeman.
No.
Representative Denbrough.
Aye.
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
No.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Tomlin.
Aye. Having received the required majority, House Bill 2990 passes. And
against the wind. And Madam Chair, because it is going to our subcommittee, we will continue to look at this. Because the Dash 3s arrived late, I'm going back to the stakeholders to say, okay, now what do you think of this?
Right.
We won't move this unless we have some agreement if this makes sense for the whole body of folks who have been writing to everyone. So
great.
Be assured that's the plan. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very
Madam
much.
Madam Chair, I might add to that. This concept is not new, and I've seen it happen in DEQ before when folks are fined for violations. And I don't know how they did it, if they did it through rulemaking or through statute, but they have found it very successful to keep that money that they've levied in fines in the area, literally in the area of violation, like restoring a wetland or whatever was violated. And I think that that is the best use of that money.
Great. Thank you, Representative Boone. With that,
Are you closing the work session? Or?
I was going to.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2990, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I just don't want us to gavel too quickly. We do have this other bill. We obviously in 2 minutes don't have time for
it. We will, definitely. If I have to hold you over, we will do it. Okay. Okay.
So what are we looking at? 3279.
Okay, we'll open up the public hearing and work session on House Bill 3279.
The original bill required the Department of Human Services to develop and administer a resident satisfaction survey for adult foster homes. The recommended Dash 2 amendment is an amendment for SEIU making provider base rates and add-on payments mandatory in collective bargaining for adult foster care home providers.
Okay. And we have
Megan Moyer and Ali Zamani.
Megan, go ahead.
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Megan Moyer. I'm with the Service Employee International Union, Local 503. I wish to speak to the Dash 2 amendments. The Dash 2 amendments are crafted in order to address and provide some clarity to the collective bargaining process for adult foster care providers.
And Megan, before you proceed, I want everyone to realize this is the proverbial gut and stuff.
Yes, I'm looking at the bill. I'm thinking
it has nothing to do with the original bill except the relating clause.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Go ahead, Megan.
So what the Dash 2 amendments would do is clarify the parameters in which adult foster care providers will be collectively bargaining over their compensation. Last session, the legislature granted collective bargaining rights to adult foster care providers, and for the purposes of collective bargaining, they are considered public employees only for the purposes of collective bargaining, and therefore fall under the Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act, or PECBA. PECBA grants a variety of different subjects which are mandatory subjects of collective bargaining, including any monetary compensation that someone may receive as a public employee. But what that language did not do is give a parameter in which adult foster homes were to collectively bargain over their reimbursement. And since they are reimbursed not only in the form of wages, they actually are not compensated in the form of wages, they're compensated for a spectrum of care which is all-inclusive and includes their costs of providing care, sometimes the cost of needing to hire additional help, the cost of assistive devices, a whole range. We needed to clarify exactly what were the terms in which adult foster homes were going to discuss those things. And what language was proposed and agreed upon by SEIU, the Department of Human Services, and the Governor's Office with consultation with the Department of Administrative Services, who does collective bargaining on behalf of the state, was to use the words provider-based rate and add-on payments as a fairly all-inclusive term and a somewhat broad term, but it does encapsulate how this discussion will go. And what a base rate is, essentially, is when a client is, and these are Medicaid clients, when a client is placed in an adult foster home, the provider is compensated the base rate, and that's what will be negotiated. That is what a typical client will cost the provider, and that will be set based in collective bargaining. Now, if that client were to require special services, such as they would need additional staffing based on a need they may have, they may qualify for an add-on. The add-on is purely, if they qualify for an add-on, that is purely at the discretion of the department based on their evaluation of need. But if an add-on is needed, what that add-on will cost, say if it were something for an increased staffing level, that add-on will be, the cost of that add-on will be collectively bargained. So the eligibility of the individual for an add-on is purely the discretion of the department based on the evaluation, but if they do qualify, what that add-on additional payment will be collectively bargained. So that is the framework in which foster homes will be collectively bargained over provider rates.
Thank you, Megan. Any questions? Representative Freeman.
I'm sorry, again, I don't have the amendments. Were they emailed to us? Or?
Yeah, they should have gone out on Friday, but I've got a copy here.
Thank you.
Thursday. If I have them, where they were emailed.
My apologies.
You want to see them?
No, I have them. So
okay.
They must have come.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Any further questions? Okay. And we did get an email from Ms. Mainzer. I see that Mr. Taves is here. That the department is fine with the language. So is there any need to bring anybody from the department up? Seeing no need, thank you very much. Mr. Zamali. Mr. Zamali, you do realize that this is, as I said, a gut and stuff, so this is very different from the original bill. I know that you support it.
Madam Chair, yes, I do. Thank you very much for the opportunity. A member of the committee, as a collaboration for helping the process, you know, we have no objection of adding a text, and I do understand the chair and the committee has the authority to do whatever they want with the bill. But the content of the original bill was designed for the elders and seniors and raising the quality of care. And I believe that don't take this as a direct approach, but I believe that, you know, this committee has the responsibility to take a look at that process. And, you know, all we proposed, the Bill 3279, was designed with no fiscal impact, with no budgeting. It has been in a process for the past 2 years. And I have talked to the department, and, you know, it's something that the department would like to see, even though that it might have some minimal issues in the budgeting. But overall, in content, this brings absolute no budget or the fiscal impact or additional due process that any other bill such as 2442 or 2391 requires to the table for the elders and seniors. And gutting the whole bill and converting it to a completely something different, we object to that. And you know, I just want to put that thing on the record. And you know, the elders and seniors for, you know, I would say about 20, 25 years have had the same problem that exists on an ongoing basis due to the problem of providing adequate care or trying to take care of all the issues that we hear and we read throughout the news and the publication. That this particular Bill 3279 is designed to bring the voice of the people into the account and helping the investigative officers or the licensors or the department to take a look at those issues, have easier access to those problems, and try to approach those things in advance, rather than turning it to the complaint issue, which has gone nowhere. And
Mr. Zamali, I'm going to ask you to sum up, because as you can see, we're past our time, and we need to be on the floor of the House in just a minute.
Well, I'd like to put in there that, you know, we do object to the complete guidance, and we have no problem adding it, adding the text to the content of it. So.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr.
You're welcome.
Somali. That, I would entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3279, dated 23rd of April, 2009.
Representative Boone moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3279, dated April 23rd, 2009. Any discussion? Yes, Representative
Quickly, Madam Chair, thank you very much. I am going to support it, but I am concerned that we couldn't have worked to get both aspects under the relating clause.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All right. Is there any objection? If not, the amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move to the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 3279 without the fiscal or revenue impact statement being available for review.
Representative Boone moves that the rules be suspended for purpose of voting on House Bill 3279 without the fiscal or revenue impact statement being available for review, and the motion is undebatable. Those are of the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 3279 without the fiscal or revenue impact statement being available for review. We'll say aye, and those opposed, no. And I'll just take a voice vote, please. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you. Motion carries, and the rules have been suspended.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3279 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 3279 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, my only concern is that this hasn't been fully vetted. I honestly don't know where the opposition might come from, but this is pretty quick. So.
Yeah. Thank you. I note your concern. Yes.
I would also like to comment. I just checked my emails, and I didn't get the amendment Friday. And
you did not?
I did not. And it seems like we're just shoving something in here that I don't really know what we're doing, so I'm going to have to vote no. It's just kind of a rush process.
Okay. Any further discussion? Clerk will call the roll, please.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Mallon.
Aye.
Representative Hoffman.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
No.
Representative Denbrough.
Aye.
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. The motion passes, and the bill is sent to the floor as amended. Somebody want to... Representative Cowan, you want to carry this? Yes. No. Representative Dimbro is looking like he would be willing
to.
He
wants to?
This.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
Committee, great job. Yes. To oppose the House, the work session on House Bill 3279. Wait a minute before you leave. You have 5 minutes before the floor begins.
Before we leave, I would like to offer thanks and gratitude to Zach for his hard work.
Yeah,
that's great.
Good job.
Good luck in your new job, and we're going to miss you.
Yes, we certainly will. Smiling face.
No. To some extent.
I just want to know if it's because of
Okay.
Got offered a job down at the trooper's office because he's good with the buttons. So.
All right, good. That's great. Good job, Zach. We're really glad for you. With that, I close the House Committee on Human Services, and thank you, committee. Good work.